Maybe you could be thinking about something you like about your dad, some kind of favorite thing, or your grandpa. Does anyone have anything favorite? Any favorite thing they want to tell about their dad? Oh, you bashful bunch. Okay. Today's story is about two boys raised without a dad. You can find it in the book of Judges, which is right after the book of Joshua. So the children of Israel have come out of Egypt, and they are occupying that promised land, okay? And they're not doing such a good job of occupying the land. I'll give you a little background. They're not as faithful to the Lord as they should be. And so the Lord sent his angel and told them, hey, you guys have not rid the land of the people that possessed it. And therefore, I'm not going to rid it for you. And they're going to cause you trouble. And that's what happened. So these boys, so actually what happened is the people, God's people, the Israelites, they kind of mixed. They were doing like the nations around them, thinking that they would conquer by having a lot of children, okay? Which wasn't a good idea, because all through the Bible, we learn how the Lord can save us, just few in number. And even if it's only one, if you're only one, he can save you against many, many people. Okay, so these two boys had similarities. They were both from the tribe of Manasseh. Now, Manasseh had the brother Ephraim. Does anybody know who their dad was? Which one of the tribe of Jacob? It was Joseph. Remember Joseph with the multicolored coat, and he was sold into Egypt, and then he rose to be most famous because he saved the world from famine. Okay, well, Joseph had Manasseh and Ephraim, and both of these boys, neither of their mothers married their dads, so that's really hard. And their dads, each of them had a very, very famous dad. Do you guys remember who Gideon was? Yeah, she knows who Gideon was. And Gilead, when you get really familiar with your Bible, you will realize that these men were very, very famous men, very successful. But these boys had a difficult life. Without a dad in the home, there wasn't a lot of money. There was no one for them to learn from. And I take it for me, I know the mom cannot teach the son how to be a man because she's not a man, okay? So this was hard for them. And they hung with worthless men as they grew up, okay? Without a role model, they were hanging out with worthless men. Now that word is not a good chosen word because it's definitely a human term. The Lord loves us all equally. None of us are grandchildren. They were all first generation. He doesn't love you any less than he loved Adam or Abraham or anybody else. He loves us equally, but he does judge us according to how we embrace him. If we don't embrace him, then we're judged accordingly, and our reward is according to how we seek after him. Okay, so let's go on to their differences. Obviously, their differences are their names and their choice of whether or not they accept the Lord. In their names, you will be able to guess what they're going to do, because the Hebrews, when they named the child, they were naming the child for their mission in life or their character. So the first one that comes on the scene is called Abimelech. And Abimelech's name, well, first of all, you can do this with me, okay? So you remember Abimelech. You can cross your arms over your chest. Go ahead and cross your arms over your chest. Okay, and stick out your lower lip and frown. And frown, yeah, very good. Okay, that's Abimelech. Okay, and his name means my father is king. Okay, so mama's setting a seed in his heart right there. And then there's Jephthah. Now Jephthah, his name, you can say Jephthah like that. Go ahead, say it. Jephthah. Jephthah, okay? And that's to mean he calls upon the Lord, because his name means one the Lord sets free. Isn't that a nice name for a mama to give her son? Yes. Okay, so here's Abimelech's story. Abimelech felt entitled to his earthly father's inheritance. Okay? He was denied this inheritance by 70 brothers. Now, if you count off 70 people, that's probably at least as many people who are sitting on this side of the church, and maybe more. Okay, that's a lot of brothers to have, isn't it? And they said to him, nothing doing, you aren't getting any money. And he didn't like that. And so he went to his mom's brothers, his uncles, on his mom's side, and said to them, would it be better for someone you don't know to rule over you, or would it be better for one of your own blood? And of course they said, well, one of our own blood. So he took those brothers and he killed them all on one rock, except for the baby that got away. We won't go into that. So anyway, and then he made himself to be king. Now the Lord told Moses that they were not supposed to have a king, but he was setting himself up to be a king, and he was he terrorized the people. They were scared to death of him. They went up into a tower one time, and he set it on fire. So over 1,000 people, which is more, about probably 3, 4, 5 times as many people that are here, died just from that fire. That's pretty awful, huh? So he's living up to his name, making himself out to be king. And then he tried that a second time, but there was a wise woman up in the tower, and she conveniently dropped a millstone that they grind the wheat with, and it landed on his head. Now that would have killed him, but he was afraid that it would be found out that a woman killed him, so he asked his armor bearer to run him through, which he did. But everybody knows a woman basically killed him, right? So let's get to the good story. Jephthah. Okay, Jephthah, he didn't seek after his dad's inheritance, but his uncles came to him. He by now had such a character that they came to him and said, hey, we would like you to lead us in war. And so he did it righteously because he knew the Lord, and he sat down and he wrote to the Ammonites who were attacking, and he said, what's the problem? And they told him, and he wrote back to him and said, oh no, we took none of your land. And they wouldn't listen. They were still going to attack. So he went under the direction of the Lord and marched against them and won. But while he was doing that, he made this vow. He promised the Lord that whatever came out of the doors of his house first, he would offer as a burnt offering. Okay? So he got home, and what came out of his doors? Of course, his only child. He wasn't making the mistake his dad dealt to him. He only had one child, and it was a girl. She was so happy to see her daddy. She came out dancing, and she had timbrels. She was so excited that the Lord had rescued him, and he tore his clothes because he offered her to the Lord. And it didn't mean that she was burnt as a burnt offering, but she was not to marry for the rest of her life. He said to her, I can't go back on my vow. And she had such a beautiful character. This sounds like what she said, basically. Oh, Daddy, I'm so glad you are home and that you didn't die in the war. Keep your vow. Don't worry about the vow. Let's have celebration that you are here and that the Lord spared your life. So the conclusion of the matter is that you get to choose who your father's going to be, your eternal father. And your life is yours as a gift, and you get to make these choices. In the end, you will either be accepted by him because you chose him, or you will not, like Abimelech. So let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Perfect, holy Lord Almighty, thank you for your holy word, that we may learn from it how good it is to be saved by you now and forever. We thank you for your son, whose name means salvation. Please help us to be ready. Thank you, Father. Amen. Would you like to pick up the offering over?